Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Thus, the noble Judas made atonement for the dead, that they might be freed from this sin. Lord our God, give peace to the souls of all the holy and just men who have died in the Lord.
Welcome, friends, to this 10th episode of the ongoing series Purgatory, the Dogma Explored. I'm Father Clement Machado. In the last episode, I talked of the Handbook on Indulgences. Today, I wish to talk about purgatory and indulgences in association with Mary's role. Mary, because of her association with Christ and his redemption through the cross, because of her role of being especially chosen to help, to support, to encourage Christ's work, not to be the source, but to help facilitate, to collaborate, to be a partner, to be an apostle, as it were, in her own way and manner, she is called to be an associate of Christ, not only by giving birth to him some 2,000 years ago, or bringing him up as a child to eventual manhood. But her role as an associate of Christ continues, is pursued in the glory of heaven. We know that there's a constant link, a network, a spiritual solidarity as part of the one body of Christ. All those that are saved make up one body. We are Christians bonded together through one baptism, one faith, through one redemption in Christ Jesus. We're aware that when we talk of the saints, we talk of our destiny of salvation, our destiny of final glory in heaven. We realize that there is a relationship in eternity between the saints, those that have finally reached glory and salvation, and God. We know that in and through God, we are a family. And like any family, like any body, like any community, we share. We share God's love, God's blessings, God's goodness, already beginning here on earth and in the world to come. And therefore, we find whether it's the angels in glory or the community of all those believers, all those that are saved, there is an exchange of love, of concern, of solicitude that goes on. In other words, heaven is not some rigidly private rapport solely, exclusively with God. My rapport with God, looking upon him face to face, being transformed by him, means that not only do I revel in God and in his glory, but also I'm able to revel and praise God for the glory shown and manifested through his creation, invisible and visible, through the heavens, through his creatures, through my brothers and sisters, as well as the angels that reflect God's light, God's holiness. Therefore, there is a bond even beyond death, even beyond the grave, even as we leave this world, beginning through the bonds here on earth. We have a family according to the flesh that God has endowed us with, has graced us with. However, God calls us to an even greater family, a family not based on mere flesh or blood, but that of the Spirit and in the Spirit, a family in the Lord, a family of faith. Is it not Christ that says, he that really believes the word of God and puts it into practice, does the will of the Lord, is truly like family to me, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father in the Spirit. Therefore, this role continues when we realize we have a family in the Lord, brother, sister. We have a mother in the Lord. we know that Christ's mother is a tremendous witness and example for us of family, of being a mother. She was a mother fully and entirely, not just in a biological sense, but in a moral, faith, and spiritual dimension as well. Thereby, Mary is not only Christ's mother in the faith, according to grace, as we call it, but in grace and through grace, through the Spirit, she becomes the mother of all believers. She becomes your mother and my mother in the Spirit, in a very real and spiritual way. Like any mother, Our Lady, or the Blessed Mother, has a tremendous concern for all brothers and sisters in the faith. She has a tremendous concern for all those that call themselves disciples of the Lord, all those that embrace the faith, all those believers. She also has a concern for the hardened sinner. She has a concern for each and every human soul created in the image of God and called to salvation, called to heaven. And so her work, her mission that Christ has entrusted or mandated her with is to intercede, to pray, to help us on our journey. If the angels, right from creation, through the prophets, through the New Testament, through the Gospels, if we see the work and mission of the angels to journey and help mankind to discovering God's will and living it out, you can imagine the role of Christ's own mother, Christ's own parents. She has a very real role of helping present and future members of Christ's church, of Christ's body, of all humanity, to one day be in the great liturgical assembly, the great assembly of praise and worship, that great Eucharistic assembly in the banquet hall of heaven. This is the context of our belief as to Mary's role. It does not replace Christ or God. She's not a substitute. Christ is not absent when Mary is at work or in Mary's intercession. Rather, it is Christ that is the source of all that Mary can do or ever do for us. Christ is the source and head of whatever mission that any angel or saint is called to do. If a Christian mother, or any mother for that matter, is called by God to watch over her children, you can imagine the work of a spiritual mother in the faith, a true God-mother. Therefore, when we look at Mary, we're not just looking at her as a nice, pretty model that had a role some 2,000 years ago, and since then is not at work, but rather hidden away in the folds of heaven. Like any mother, she takes an active role upon her children. We look in John's Gospel, that great moment in which Jesus hung upon the cross is dying and says to Saint John, "Behold thy mother," and turns to his own mother, Mary, standing at the foot of the cross, "Woman, behold thy son." It was a prophetic gesture, a prophetic scene. Jesus should have taken care of things like a good son beforehand. Why did he wait as he was dying on the cross? Because he was showing us an example not just exclusive to John and Mary, but an example for all believers, good news proclaimed for all believers. And we read in John's Gospel, you see, John is talking about himself. He refers to himself as the beloved disciple. From that moment on, in John's Gospel, he states that that disciple, that apostle, meaning himself, made a place for Mary in his own home, received Mary, received her so that she can mother him and he can respond as a child and thereby grow in that spiritual relationship to a greater knowledge of Christ, to grow in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What was given to John does not just remain with him, but that assistance, that motherly care and vigilance is extended from that prophetic gesture at Calvary's Hill to all humanity. It has been the constant sentiment of the early Christians, the early church writers, the early fathers of the church, down through the medieval ages. The saints, the great teachings of the church and theologians have attested, have witnessed to this reality, to this revelation that Christ gave so eloquently on the cross. His mama becomes our mama and mother. Of course, all human mothers have their own limitations, their own weaknesses. Like any parent, there is no true perfect parent. We all fall short of the glory of God. However, parents can distinguish themselves in their role, in their mission, by being submissive to God's grace and inspiration in their life. That is why Mary was so much and so great a mother, so perfect a mother, because she so perfectly responded to God's grace, to God's will. Behold, I am the lowly handmaiden of the Lord. And so Mary, in interceding for us, in assisting us now and at the hour of our death, and as we leave this world, she does so not in an arrogant way, but rather really accompanies us, really experiences the sorrows, the trials, the joys of everyday life and existence. Therefore, even after we leave this world, Mary is assisting us in expiating for our sins, in order for us to make due satisfaction for any remnant of sin or attachment to sin or inclination to sin that we may have, however light that inclination or sin may be. It is Our Lady that helps us in that final purification so we can come completely 100% undefiled, spotless and pure before the majesty and grandeur, the great love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, this assistance has been already planned, decided upon by God Himself. It is part of God's great plan and economy of salvation, that individuals, the saints, the angels, the prophets, the patriarchs, even Mary, having a very particular role in carrying out God's ministry of salvation. Therefore, when we talk of Mary and purgatory, it's always according to that background. According to the Catholic faith, in reference to Mary and her role, number 963 of the Catechism states, Mary, Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church. Since the Virgin Mary's role in the mystery of Christ and the Spirit has been treated in earlier chapters of this catechism, it is fitting now to consider her place in the mystery of the Church. The Virgin Mary is acknowledged and honored as being truly the Mother of God and of the Redeemer. Jesus came, God being man. And so Mary, in mothering him, has a relationship to someone who's both God and man. So in being Mother of God, not that she actually gave him full existence in his divinity, but rather Mother of God in his humanity. Mother of God according to his humanity, which is much part of his own personality, his personality being divine, yet manifesting itself, embracing both the divine nature, godly nature, and our human nature, both flesh, blood, and soul. She is clearly the mother also of the members of Christ, since she has, by her charity, or love, joined in bringing about the birth of believers in the church who are members of its head. Therefore, if Mary mothered the head of the church, St. Paul says Christ is the head of the church, she also has a mother's relationship of giving spiritual birth, according to the Spirit, to believers, to the members of that one body, members of the head. Mary, mother of Christ, Mary, mother of the church. We go on to state in 971, all generations will call me blessed. The Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is intrinsic to Christian worship. The Church rightly honors the Blessed Virgin with special devotion. From the most ancient times, the Blessed Virgin has been honored with the title of Mother of God, to whose protection the faithful fly in all dangers and needs. Protection of the faithful in this life and in the world to come, purgatory. This very special devotion, now here's a very key differentiation here. This very special devotion differs essentially from the adoration which is given to the Incarnate Word and equally to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thereby, Mary is not adored. Sometimes it's a question of vocabulary. When we state that devotion to Mary is compatible or part of Christian worship, we're not saying we are worshiping her. We are saying that adoration of God is compatible with showing respect, esteem, admiration for God's creatures and God's creation. Mary is a creature of God, a creature so manifest of the Spirit, so reflecting God's Spirit, the gospel of Christ, so filled with grace that we can show esteem and veneration and adoration to God by showing or exhibiting respect to her because of her very dignity. But when we talk of Mary's dignity, we are talking of a dignity that is given by God Himself. We cannot talk of Mary's dignity or Mary's greatness without reference to its source, which is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Part of that dignity or grandeur of Mary is that mission that God gave to her. And God elevated her, God created her, God established and constituted her in such holiness, in such faith, hope, and love, that she now shares intimately with Him the glories of eternal joy. She also shares intimately in that mission to offer protection to the faithful. In 967, we say that by her complete adherence to the Father's will, to His Son's redemptive work, and to every prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary is the Church's model of faith and charity. She is a model for us in belief in Christ, in faith that justifies us, and hope. Mary had to be saved. She was created, she was saved by the Lord. She was so full of grace that she was able to be preserved from falling into sin. But only God could do such a wonder and such a marvel. In 970, Mary's function as mother of men, all mankind, in no way obscures or diminishes the unique mediation of Christ. Oftentimes, there will be Christians of other denominations that say, we Catholics are worshiping Mary. We're putting Mary the same level of Christ. Or in some ways, we're even ignoring Christ. Christ is the only unique mediator. His unique mediation has won for us redemption. The Church is stating the constant faith, as mother, spiritual mother of mankind, she does not obscure or diminish Christ's unique role of mediator between God and man. In Hebrews, we read that. But rather shows its power. Rather, Mary's role is there not to supplement, but rather to illustrate Christ's own power and mediation. If we take a diamond and place it in sunlight, what happens? We find that the diamond manifests and reflects the beauty of the sunlight. That is Mary's role. She is not the light. She's not the sun. She is not God. However, God's light is reflected on her. She is a jewel formed by God, and His light radiates through her to His greater glory, to His greater praise. Any praise or admiration we have of this jewel, this diamond, and God's light shining through it, does not take our focus off the fact that it is God that is the light. It is God that is the source of all goodness. Mary can only reflect, give some infinitely pale reflection of the ocean of God's infinite goodness and majesty. Awesome wonder. No creature could ever be counted along with the incarnate Word, meaning Jesus and Redeemer. But just as the priesthood of Christ is shared in various ways, both by His ministers and the faithful, and as the one goodness of God is radiated in different ways among His creatures, so also the unique mediation of Jesus the Redeemer does not exclude, but rather gives rise to a manifold cooperation, which is but a sharing in this one source. There is a sharing, there is a distribution, there is a channeling. For example, we can have a broadcasting of a program. It is being channeled through different reference points or equipment. The source may be a satellite, it may be out of a studio, yet it is being channeled and eventually comes to us through our television sets. So too Mary is a distribution point, a channel, a privileged channel by God. Part of that channeling of God's Spirit is that Spirit of grace that heals us of our sin and from sin. Which is why when we talk of Mary in purgatory, we are talking about those souls that are in relation with God, in God's friendship. They are saved. They are part of the body of Christ. They are part of the communion or community of saints. And therefore, Mary's role continues on of being mother to see to it that they complete that transitory role into life everlasting. The saints, oftentimes in their own private revelations or visions, have seen the role of Mary interceding on behalf of the souls in purgatory, interceding with her son. It's always her son that decides. But she can always be an advocate, sent there and mandated by God, by Christ her Son. St. Peter Damian, that great theologian, witness of the Church of Revelation, that great doctor of the Church, right from the medieval ages, expressed a practice called the Sabbatine privilege. What is that? That is, those that have worn the scapular, those that have a particular devotion to Our Lady, those souls receive particular assistance from Mary. Therefore, on Saturdays or on great feast days, those that have a special devotion through the rosary or they belong to a special group dedicated to Mary, those that call upon her through the scapular, receive God's assistance, God's special grace through her. she distributing God's grace on their behalf. Therefore, dear friends, we find the role of Mary given to us in a very special way by God. Let us now pray. O God, we thank you for giving us such an intercessor, such a mother in Mary. May she save us through Christ. May Christ save us through her cooperation forever and ever. Amen.